This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Giving to the needy. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. That's good to see you. Today, we're talking about money and giving. Sharp intake of breath. 2 months ago, I asked Chris Hicks to preach on sex, but I thought I can't give away all the best topics to other people. I've got to keep some for myself. So today, it's me and money. And perhaps you think the church is always asking for money, but actually that's not true. I looked back on my records and saw the last time we spoke about it was actually on the 3rd of March last year. So it's been 18 months, and the time before that was 18 months before that. So if you've only come once every 18 months and it's landed, I'm really sorry, because it's not what we normally think about. We don't often talk about money. But money is a spiritual matter. How we choose to spend our money reveals something of our priorities, the things we think that matter. And it turns out that one third of Jesus' entire teaching is about money, debts, or giving. So how we use our money really is a spiritual issue. And so I want to pick out a few simple thoughts about, as we're going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Pathetic, I know, but I don't get out much. So Matthew 6, 1 to 4, and Jesus says, when you give. Jesus doesn't say if you give, but when. Jesus considers it completely normal for those who call themselves his followers to give their money to God's purposes. And he invites his hearers to plan their giving, not just to offer reactively in a crisis. I know on my Friday email I mentioned about the world's biggest crisis, which you might not even be aware of, is actually in Sudan at the moment, with 15.3 million people in desperate situation. It hardly makes news coverage at all. And so if you could give there, that would be brilliant. But it's not just about crisis giving. This makes sense. If I said to my gas or electricity supply company, I really want a regular supply, and I'll just give you what I've got in my pocket at the end of the month, they're not very impressed. They won't enter into a contract with that. And actually, we can't run a church like that either. So just as we plan to pay our utilities bills, we can do the same with the kingdom of God, giving intentionally. And Sue and I, through our married life, we've just always given on the first day of the month. That's just, I found that way easier, because the money comes in on the last day and then I don't miss it and I'm not feeling resentful. So on the first day of the month, and then that's just become a routine that has been quite helpful in serving us. So it might be something worth thinking about it. Jesus says in Luke 14, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. I don't know, if any of you planning a tower at the moment? Okay, maybe a conservatory, I don't know. But first, won't you sit down first and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Now, Jesus uses that as an illustration to say there is a cost in discipleship. If we're his followers, we need to sign up, but do a bit of calculating. Are we willing to pay the cost? And some of the cost of discipleship, we're not, of course, buying salvation. That's completely free gift, unmerited. But part of regular discipleship is to give, and he says that. It's a normal part of being a follower of Jesus. So verse 3, when you give, but also verse 3, don't let anyone know about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, or some of you might be ambidextrous, but either way, there's something about secret giving. We're going to talk openly about the principle of giving, but what any one of us chooses to give, that should remain secret. And that way, no one can boast. And that's what really annoyed Jesus. He saw people chucking in loads of money or announcing it in trumpets. That's interesting. You play the trumpet, don't you? And he's just a treasurer. But I don't think I've seen Mark actually play a bugle. Here's my money. But, I mean, it might be quite entertaining. But Jesus said, please don't do that. It's not for the benefit of other people. Giving is part of our worship. It's a normal part of our worship. Now, one vision for giving that you might not have considered, but maybe you have, is tithing. And that goes back 3,000 years, 4,000 years perhaps. So giving 10% of your income back to God, that's part of the worship. They actually had it in this land for many years, so the people had to give to the church. I was, last Sunday, Sue and I went up to Bradford-on-Avon, and we saw, I think, the biggest tithe barn I've ever seen. Anyone else seen it? It's just amazing. It's 51 metres long. And so it's the abbot was given the tithes, the produce, 10% of the aubergines, or I don't know what they grew in the Middle Ages, corn probably. And these barns, and I thought, we should bring this back. I just thought, how nice, how tight things have changed. Of course, people were made to do it, which part of me loves, but most of me says, no, that's not the best way of getting people sort of giving money, resentfully like a tax. But lots was brought in. And actually, lots brought in here. There are so many people in this church who give sacrificially and really generously. I know that from the figures, but I don't know your names. So thank you so much, all of you who do give. But I remember as a teenager, I didn't really know the word tithing, but this struck me. 10 people who give 10% can employ an 11th person on an equal salary. That really excited me. And so from teenage years, I just thought I want to do that. And extra bonus, if 100 people tithe, they could employ 11 people, because the 10 can also do that. It's a fantastic thing. It's one model. It's not the only thing. Perhaps you think, well, we're in the New Testament. We're not in the Old Testament. It's not 10%. It's a better deal. Do we say it's a better deal so you have a lower percentage or a higher? I don't know. That's between each of us secretly to work out with God, what should we give? But if you give, thank you. Where does the money go? Where does all this money go? And is it wisely and well spent? Well, first of all, it's given to pay for me. You may want a refund, but I'm just telling you. So the way it works, individual Christians give to the church, and then the church gives to the diocese. The diocese gives to the church commissioners, and church commissioners, who are the big central body, pay wages. So it's a three-way love triangle-ish. So I'm paid by the church commissioners, and three of our clergy then, we are stipendiary. We get a stipend. It's not a salary. So it's meant to keep us from having to go begging or indeed stealing. But it's not even those who are not paid, like Mary, who does it as a gift to God and to the church. We all need training. And then there's housing and all sorts of costs. So that's a big cost of where our money goes that we then pass on. And then there's parish share. So this is the mechanism by which the diocese collects money. The vast majority of the money that a diocese has, and we're the diocese, comes from all the parishes giving. Now, this year, our giving to the diocese was £92,500. I want you to know, Joe and I didn't split that. That's not how it works. Next year, it's going up to £112,000, which is getting towards four clergy salaries. So because we're a slightly bigger church, we're more able to give than smaller churches, and so it makes it more fair. So you pay for the number of clergy, and then it's multiplied by a factor of how many people are actually worshipping. Can I say the diocese is not wasteful? That's going up by 20,000, which you think, well, Mark and I had a conversation when that email came in. The truth is, and we've only just discovered it, and this is sort of embarrassing to say, but it wasn't my fault, Governor. The diocese has been living beyond its means for the last 20 years. And it's been selling curates' houses and bits of land. So it's been actually running on a deficit of £1.5 million a year for 20 years. And next year, it's going to go up by £2 million is the budget deficit. We're a historic, ancient diocese, and the good news of that is there are some assets. There are some modern dioceses. Every single diocese is facing this at the moment because worshipping numbers have gone down. And so everyone, but some dioceses don't have any historic assets and they're really in trouble. And so part of our giving is to think, well, actually, we're part of the Church of England. And some of the northern dioceses have some of the most generous churches, but they are also statistically the poorest. I was heard of a vicar, the church of 70 people, and only two people are in employment, and one of them is the vicar. So for them to pay parish share is very difficult. And so it makes sense if we think we love the bride of Christ, the body of Jesus, the church, and this is the part we're involved in, the Church of England, to try and support one another appropriately where we can. And that's where we are as a diocese. So there are lots of very small churches, and so we're giving more than we cost because we can, and I believe we really should. The diocese is not wasteful. Sometimes people think it's got loads of extra reserves. It really hasn't. But there are the admin. There's been lots of posts cut from the diocesan offices. Lots of people lost their jobs. But there are some specialist roles like ancient building officers. We've got a fantastic team here, as you know. But we do need some really specialist people who can advise on grade one listed buildings, such as Stratford Subcastle St Lawrence in our benefice. And we can't just make it up as we go along. And also safeguarding, which of course has risen up the agenda, as we all know. So we employ people who have to do this essential work to advise us. And that's appropriate as well. And then what else are we getting for our money? These lovely people. So in this church, unlike other churches, we do pay for part-time staff. Most of our staff are part-time and have one or two other jobs because they need to pay their bills as well. But we're blessed. We've got fantastic people. I'm so thrilled that we have these people on our books that we're able to pay them a modest salary. But we've got really exciting things like a gas bill. That sets you free, doesn't it? Wasn't it great that we had the heating on today? I barely need a jumper, actually. I know there's a lot of hot air coming out at the moment, but sometimes when it's really cold, the heating has to go on at 2 a.m. because it's a big building with a lot of space. So for our gas and electricity, praise God, we've got 36 new solar panels. But even so, the buildings do need to be paid for. And then we want to give away. We want to bless others whose need is very acute. Last year, this church gave away £30,000 to other charities. Some of them you may have heard of, like the Bridge Youth Project, does wonderful things across our county and in our city. And then, well, maybe there's the Women's Refuge. I mean, there's all sorts of charities internationally as well. Juba School that this church paid for at its inception. So we want to be generous and want to feel we're doing what we can. So that's where the money goes. And I don't think any of it I want to apologise for. I don't feel bad about any of the money we spend. And as a PCC, we take this responsibility very seriously. And when we're giving, I really feel we're investing, we're building God's kingdom here and now. I hope you feel that, however much or little you're able to give, that it's part of saying your yes to Jesus is in your giving, and that it's building the kingdom of God. I used to have a friend who worked for Mercy Ships, and they would go to parts of the world where there were no doctors or dentists, and they would just sort of moor and then do thousands of teeth extractions or operations for people who could, people who wanted it, by the way, you know, don't just, sorry, just to clarify. So they do emergency work for people who are needing it, who could never get it otherwise. And we paid his salary. I thought, this is great. I'm not going to go into some place in Africa or South America anytime soon, let alone be invited to do someone's dental work. And yet there I was. I really felt I was part of bringing the kingdom of God to people that I would never meet. That's the vision for when we're able to give and bless others. So what Jesus says later on in the chapter, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy. We had lots of moths this year. Anyone else have? Don't put up your hand if it was vermin as well. They're not good. But my best suit had a moth attack. I know, I was so cross. And then I did remember Jesus had mentioned this. So it wasn't my favourite outfit, in fact. But what Jesus says is, but, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart is in the kingdom of God, then it's actually a joyful thing to be able to give. But we need to work out what's an appropriate level. So what I'd like to invite everyone to think about before 18 months' time comes around again, could we step up our giving? So whatever step we're on of what we are giving, maybe in 2026, could we step it up? And in fact, those very steps, which are just there, were repaired this year. £4,500. A bargain. You know, things are expensive, it turns out. But then we also, 2 weeks ago, someone had an accident on our steps, doing things they weren't asked to do. But, you know, we have a liability. We have to make things safe. I'm so glad we've got them really well repaired. But anyway, going back to it as a metaphor, which step are we on? How could we step up our giving? And can I say really clearly, if you are right now in a financial chaos and deep pain, don't let it land on you. There may be other things that are much more important that you sort out in life. So please hear that. But this is the normal pattern if we're not in a crisis of our finances that we would be giving. So I don't want anyone feeling guilty about this. And in fact, if you are in a crisis, we have a small fund called the Discretionary Fund. So we've sometimes been able to give people a small amount of money just to help them through a crisis. Be in touch with me or Mark. Because we would want to help support you rather than take. But I have heard that actually, most people do not make an annual adjustment to their giving. So whether it's a pension or a salary, if there's an inflation increase, the treasurer lets slip that most people don't do a new calculation. So maybe there is time to think, oh, actually, am I tracking in the way that I could do? And here's an example. It's not an example. There's an example that's dropped off the slide. Well, I'll just go back to the steps and tell you. If, for example, you were giving, let's say, £10 a week, could you consider giving 12? If you were giving 20, that would be 24. If you're giving 50, it could be 60. If you're giving 100, it could be 120. So I don't know what anyone else gives, and maybe you don't give at all, but you might want to talk with one of our, you know, officers, Mark or Sally, and find out more. But we'd like to encourage everyone to think about it, and in the new year, ideally to increase, because our costs are going up. So just imagine that's a slide of numbers, and yes, that's a good slide. Oh, look, there's Mark with his boyish looks. It's an old photograph. And Sally, and actually the gift aid is done by Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. So if you want to know about, only God will know, and these people, in fact, let's be honest. But they oversee the finance, and they're super discreet people. Sometimes people have to decrease what they're giving because their circumstances are changing. But the general pattern, I wanted to share what I think we're invited to do. So please, will you think, will you pray? I'm really not trying to pull on the heartstrings, let alone be emotionally manipulative or guilt-inducing. Because we've received freely and we want to give freely. And one of the prayers we say just before, before the Lord's Prayer, all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. We're just giving back to God what he's given. But I like this, 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the Christians at Corinth. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so he says, each of you should give. That's the basic starting point. But it's what you've decided in your heart. It's a private calculation to work out, and not reluctantly or under compulsion. Much as I'd love to have a tithe barn, it's not going to happen. So we each think about it. And God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word there is hilarion, from which we get hilarious. So giving is a joyful thing, but it's painful. I mean, if it doesn't hurt, it's not a sacrifice. At least we don't slaughter goats here or sheep or anything. But there is a sacrifice, and it involves pain, but it also involves that choice that we can all do. I said at the start this talk was all about money and giving. Of course, it's not at all. It's all about Jesus. That's what it's about. Money is simply a tool to serve God. It's a means to enable more people to get to know Jesus. And that's what we all want, isn't it? So let's just be still. Thank you, Lord, that we've come into the orbit of hearing about your love for us. Thank you that we are so amazingly more loved than we could ever imagine. Thank you that you've welcomed us back like prodigal sons and daughters. And you said, come home. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love. And so we pray that we will take this seriously, this aspect of our following and our discipleship, to work out what you are calling us to give, to bless others, to honour you. Perhaps we can also, maybe you can't pick picture them, but there was a photo earlier of Chris and Anna Hembury, who work for the Church Mission Society in Hull, in one of the most deprived parishes of our country. Place of extreme poverty. Lord, please would you bless them as they seek to be a blessing amongst people with very little resource. Please encourage them this day. Thank you for them, for their willingness to give, and when that's costly for them over so many years. And then as I was preparing for today, I just wondered how many of us might have unhealthy habits in our use of money. Are we addicted to shopping? Do we regularly spend money foolishly? Are we regularly living beyond our means? And what do we do about that? Well, maybe the Holy Spirit of Jesus wants to help set the reset button on our finances, to break an unhealthy pattern in our use of money. So could I invite this prayer ministry team just to be at the back, if you could go there now. And I just sense there will be people who, it might be this or it might be something completely else. But if you would like prayer for any concern that you have, then just go to the back and ask for prayer. Say what's on your heart, unburden yourself. Ask for the help of God. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Maybe you're in pain physically. Maybe it's emotionally or mentally or spiritually. If you're carrying a pain that you'd like God to be on the case, we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you for healing. We've heard today of the goodness of God in healing. Someone before the service passed on a note saying they, as they were preparing, felt someone has a significant problem with their digestive system, and you're under the care of the hospital, and the Lord is saying you're in his hands, you're in the Lord's hands. And if you want to respond to that and ask for prayer for safekeeping for the journey ahead, just go to the back and ask for prayer. So come, Holy Spirit, speak into our minds and hearts that we may grow more like Jesus. What are you saying to us, Lord?
King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong in heaven, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne.
Earth and heaven. brought the nation.
Who brought the nation?
Ransom souls.
Ransom souls.
Who brought this sinner?
Near to your throne.
All within me.
Rise out and pray.
You've got to remember your majesty.
Your majesty.
I can.
I lay my all
before you now.
In royal robes.
I don't deserve.
I live to serve.
Instrumental. At your throne, your majesty, I can but bow.
Majesty, I can but bow.
I lay my all before you.
I lay my all before you.
In royal robes, I don't.
He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.